Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 1. What I wanted to share on today was the title of the teaching is With God, Nothing Shall Be Impossible. And I know that we take that verse comes in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that's the truth no matter what. And today we're going to look a little bit before his birth. We're going to look at Zacharias and Elizabeth. So in verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abib. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest, his lot was to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned unto the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So you have this wonderful man. It says that he and his wife are both righteous before God. They have lived their lives for him. They've served him. And he is serving in the priest office. Elizabeth is a cousin, I think, to Mary. And that means Mary also is in the line of Aaron, which I hadn't thought about before in the family. But here you have what God is going to bring to pass. And you know what? The man... He's a righteous man. He's like a lot of believers. He's a wonderful man, but he doesn't exactly believe exactly what he's been told right here. He is astounded at what's happening in front of him. And this angel, he's really troubled. How am I going to know that this is going to come to pass? Well, Gabriel, I mean, he just stands there and says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and these things are coming to pass. God is going to get what he wants done. And that's really the one of the major points of my teaching. With God, nothing shall be impossible. It's not going to change anything if he believes this immediately or not. It's going to come to pass. And he experiences the fact that he can't speak from this point on until John is born. And then he's going to name him John, as he was told. But it's just an amazing, it's an amazing thing. And then it says in verse 23, it says, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, that he departed unto his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked unto me, and I saw, and I take away my reproach from men. You know, they've been praying this prayer. They've been asking God for his mercy concerning having a child, and they've been continuing to pray even though they're well stricken in age. But God's going to get something done that he wants to get done. It says in verse 17, talking about the baby, talking about John the Baptist that will be born. It says, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And if you go to, you can keep your hand, well, we're coming back to the Gospel of Matthew here in a minute, but go to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. God had promised before the great day of the Lord comes, before the Lord Jesus Christ came. In verse 5, it says, and behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. God promised that he would send a man, Elijah. Now, John fulfills this prophecy. If you remember, we just read that in verse 17. But I don't think people understood until Jesus Christ said much later on. And if you go to Matthew, chapter 11. In verse 2, it says, now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come and do, or do we look for another? Now I want to remind you that John, when he was baptizing, he baptized Jesus. And he witnessed that Jesus Christ was the one that God said, the one that I'm sending, you're going to see the Spirit falling and remaining on as a dove. And he basically told his people, this is the Christ. So he was convinced because of what God had told him. He was convinced because of the witness that God had given him in the revelation. But as time goes by, it wasn't exactly going the way John thought it was going to go. Yeah, just because you are a great prophet, and he is a great prophet, doesn't mean you understand everything. None of us understand everything. God's doing stuff just like, you know, he made that prophecy in Malachi of Elijah, but guess what? Elijah, he wasn't named Elijah. He was named John. And it was sort of like God's secret, but God made it known. It's something that God is going to bring to pass. God is going to make it happen. God, whether Zacharias believes it or not right away, this is something that has to happen, has to go on. So it says here, in Jesus answering those two guys that were sent from John, verse 4, it says in chapter 11, we are in Matthew, and Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And they departed, and Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? When you went out and you followed John, what did you go out there to see? What did you expect? Did you expect a weak individual who's just shaken with the wind, just going to blow back and forth? And what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's quite a statement. There's no man that's ever been born that's greater, a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But at the same time, the least is greater. Verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence taketh it by force. For all the prophets and the law are prophesied until John. And if you would receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Jesus Christ bears witness that John the Baptist is Elijah that God had prophesied of, had Malachi prophesied of before he came. You know, there's that verse there. It says in verse 12 again, for from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is absolutely true all the way through to today. You saw it in the book of Acts. You saw it. The things of God, the world is against God. It's against his men. He's against his people. The world is violent against the Christ and against God's people. And that violence continues on, and it will continue on until the Lord comes back. You know, those of us who believe, we just have to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. And sometimes that spiritual battle manifests itself in very concrete terms. And John certainly was going to get his head cut off. I mean, it's very, very horrible, concrete terms. And he was the greatest prophet born of a woman. And that comes out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how to quantify that any better than that. But you get to see this. You get to see it in Scripture. For all the prophets, verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you wish to understand it, if you wish to hear it, the people he's talking to, including you and I, if you will have the ears to hear these truths, then hear. You'll have a lot of people, and I myself, for years, how is this true? Because, you know, you're expecting Elijah. You got a man who's done tremendous amount of miracles in the Old Testament. Very, very powerful prophet in the Old Testament. And yet John did no miracles. John didn't do one single miracle. But John did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And Elijah did exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. You know, he wasn't named the same name. He was named John. He wasn't named Elijah. All of these things. But the point is, God had this. This is what this prophet is going to do. This is the prophecy that he's going to fulfill. He's going to bring many people back to God from Israel. Verse 16 says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like to children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebender, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now, the people criticized John. He said, oh, this guy's crazy. He's got a devil. And they criticized Jesus Christ. And both men acted completely differently. One was out in the wilderness doing his thing. And he was doing exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And they criticized him. And Jesus Christ is always doing the Father's will. He's always doing exactly what he is supposed to do. And they criticize him. You know, when people, whatever the people, it doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter what the whole world thinks. And because wisdom, the wisdom of God is justified by her children, of her children. And then Jesus Christ goes ahead and he starts to rebuke the cities. And it says in verse 20, and I just want to read some of it here. And then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And then Jesus Christ makes this beautiful statement. It says, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son is reviled him. Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just such a wonderful section. You know, God Almighty sent Elijah, John the Baptist. He sent this, the Messiah. John made the way for the Lord to come. And it was the way God intended and wanted it to happen. He turned the people to repent from their sins. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes shortly after John. John has a pretty short life, and yet he's the greatest man born of women and the greatest prophet that was ever born. And Jesus Christ, he's laying it out here to them because he says, you know, the kingdom has always suffered violence from the unbelievers, and it still does today. And John's going to get his head chopped off. I mean, it must have been a horrendous time in the lives of all of these believers and people, the followers of John, the people who knew what was going on. And yet Jesus Christ said, what the heck did you come out to see when you went and saw this man? And whatever the people were expecting, they would criticize what they saw. You know, the unbelievers will criticize. If you got a righteous man, they criticize him because he's, oh, too holy, or a holy roller, or whatever the heck it is. The point is, the unbelievers are always evil, speaking against those who are God's. And instead of repenting, just like all those other cities that didn't repent in the Old Testament that God destroyed, it's going to be worse for these people. It's going to be much worse for these people because they did have the Messiah in their midst. And he just cries out and he says, come unto me. Come unto me. You know, I and my Father are one. And come unto me. Go to chapter 17. Jesus Christ speaks of this again. You know, when Jesus Christ is born, when he's about 2 years old, the Magi show up to give homage. They've been taught to wait and to look for the signs that are in the sky for centuries. Daniel taught them what the signs would be, and they show up, and they show up to King Herod. And they say, where is the Christ? Where is he who is born King of the Jews? They have the religious leaders tell them what town he's come. He's coming to Bethlehem. And you know what this wonderful king does? He has every child from 2 years old and younger destroyed. God, again, gets what God wants done. But Almighty God protects Jesus, the Messiah, he protects him because he tells Joseph in a dream, get up and take the baby and his mother and go into Egypt. God protects. God's going to get done everything he wants to get done. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Every promise in the scriptures is ours. Every truth is ours. The question is, will you and I accept those things? Will we turn our hearts to the Lord, to the Word, and just no matter what's in front of us? And just imagine what was just behind Joseph as he's taking his family out of the city. We're talking about soldiers marching through the streets, slaughtering children. Yeah. Horrendous, terrible things. Things that are really unspeakable, or you don't even want to imagine them. And yet, that is what the adversary will do. And it's going to continue. That kind of thing is definitely part of what's available to happen and continue until our Lord returns. In Matthew 17, verse 10, it says, And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scriptures that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. It wasn't apparent to John's disciples. It wasn't apparent to anybody except Jesus Christ. And when he said it, then they understood what God had been doing, that God's prophecy had come to pass. And again, it comes, I just wanted to say, with that violence, because they killed John and they're going to kill the Lord. And all this has to happen. All this has to happen in order for our redemption and for God's plan to happen. It is just, there's so many people who say, well, why does all this evil happen in the world? It's a battle. The spiritual battle is a real battle. And it's going to continue in that vein until our Lord returns. And that's where I want to bring it, because God is going to bring to pass, whether anybody believes it or not, go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Whether anybody believes the truth of his word or not. Remember, Jesus Christ said many a time, he says, will there be faith on the earth when I return? You know, is there anybody really going to believe and stay steadfast? Jesus Christ asked that question. I guess it was rhetorical, but he asked that question because he really wanted to know. And obviously the people in front of him, even his own men, they all ran away when he was taken captive and beaten and crucified. None of them were there. So it was a legitimate question. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we love to read this verse. We love to read this, and it is going to happen just the way the scriptures say it. It's going to be immensely powerful. It's going to be days of days. This is going to be one of the greats. When our Lord is sent back, and Paul says to them here by revelation, in verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That day is coming to pass. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody understands. It doesn't matter one iota, because God has promised it, and it shall come to pass. Just like they weren't really, there were only a few people who understood that the Messiah had come the first time. There were almost nobody who understood what John the Baptist fit in the picture until Jesus Christ made it known. I mean, I wouldn't have understood that unless Christ said it. But our Lord is coming back. And when he does, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and we remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When our Lord comes back, this time, we're going to meet him in the air. You and I and all those who have believed on the coming Messiah are going to be changed. We're going to become immortal. We're going to get new bodies and new minds, and we so look forward to that. But we're also going to be with the Lord forever, evermore with the Lord. And that is when the kingdom of God comes and he starts to establish his kingdom on the earth. And when that day comes, it's going to be, the devil's not going to give up easy. There's going to be a tremendous amount of death and destruction, and all this stuff's going to happen and come to pass, because they're going to fight against the Lord and against his Christ. And it says in Psalm chapter 2, if you want to, the second Psalm, if you want to read that, it says very plainly, God is going to laugh at these people who are going to rise up against the Messiah and against him. Again, they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand. The people doing this are going to be just as dumb spiritually. You know, they're going to act and react, but they're going to be as dumb as everybody else, because they're not going to realize exactly what's going on. Can you imagine if you see the Lord coming in the clouds, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you would really think that you're going to be able to fight against him? I mean, a reasonable individual would, you figure out, what are my odds of winning here? You know? They're not real good, and yet they're going to do it. And it says, and God in heaven is going to laugh at them. And it's going to be tremendous destruction. And then when everything is brought low, when everything is done, you know, the Lord is going to reign. He's going to reign. He's going to bring in a whole era where the earth is going to be changed. It's going to be bring back to a more paradise-like condition. Those of us who have believed on him, we're going to minister as priests and on the earth, and we'll be rewarded according to our faithfulness. Some people will be ministering over 10 cities, some over one, some not so much, according to our faithfulness and in what we've done in this life. I don't know what, I'll just be real thankful to be there. But God's word is going to come to pass. There is nothing impossible with him. I don't know, nor does anybody else, exactly what's going to happen or how long it's going to take. I got no clue, but I do know this. Every word that God has spoken is going to come to pass. Everything that he spoke that was needed to come to pass before the Messiah showed up came to pass. And it will come to pass afterwards. And nothing is impossible with him. And you and I can take that with great comfort, really great comfort. Because all those that we love, we're going to be together with that have loved the Lord. All those that that we know that fall asleep, if we fall asleep before he comes back, we have we can rejoice. We can rejoice knowing that he is coming again and we will be raised. And I was reading Philippians the other day. I read the whole book a couple of times over the last day or so. And I'd like to look at it again with you sometime, but not this morning. But if you look at it and you just underline all the times that Paul talks about rejoicing and joy, he is in prison. He's got a death sentence hanging over his head, and he is rejoicing and filled with joy and blessed. This guy is happy. This man is happy in the midst of having a death sentence hanging over his head because he has the hope. And when it lives really in our lives the same way, no matter what's going on around us, we can have joy and we can have assurance in our heart that God's word is coming to pass. So that's kind of what I wanted to share with you this morning.